May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I don't know what you think of when you think of the retro movement. It probably depends on what generation you're from. It seems like the retro movement lingers on a cyclical basis. Styles and fashions of the 70s and 80s have an influence on today's fashions. For example, baggy pants and jeans are back in fashion. They've made a comeback, as well as the high-waisted jeans. I mentioned that to Ruth, and she said, "Yep, honey, that's been for some time now." I said, "Oh, okay." So I said, I'm not always observant when it comes to the latest fashions. You might have guessed that. But one of the best things about the retro movement, in my mind, is the best thing, is the music, right? The music of our time. There is something a little disconcerting about having the music of your day during your high school years being called oldies, being played on oldie station. But however, I'm just going to say it, friends, good music is good music. That's just the way it is. And I always get a kick out of a teenager telling me about some great song, it turns out, by some group by the name of, the Doobie Brothers or something like that. They say, "Have you heard about this group, the Doobie Brothers, Pastor Jack?" "Oh, no, never heard of them." And I'm not talking about Bach or Beethoven, other classicals. However, I am talking about the Beach Boys, the Doobie Brothers, the real king of rock and roll, Bob Seger, and the piano legends of Elton John and Billy Joel. I'm talking about Three Dog Nights. Now, there was a band that had some great, fun tunes, right? From Joy to the World, not the Christmas hymn, to Mama Told Me Not to Come, to Pieces of April. One song performed by Three Dog Night was a song written by Paul Williams. You might remember, it's in the title of our message today, Just an Old-Fashioned Love Song. That's a song that's been on my mind lately as I've considered this morning's message, as we wrap up this whole thing about Jesus and the prophets, and realize that the Easter story itself is truly just an old-fashioned love song. So we're going to sing that today. So get ready, get your Three Dog Night on, and here we go. I'll lead you as best I can.
Just an old-fashioned love song playing on the radio.
You got this.
And wrapped around the music is the sound of someone promising to never go. You swear you've heard it before as it slowly rambles on and on. No need in bringing them back, cause they've never really gone.
Here you go.
Just an old-fashioned love song, coming down in three-part harmony.
There you go.
Just an old-fashioned love song, one I'm sure they wrote for you and me.
We're going to go back to the refrain now.
Just an old-fashioned love song, coming down in three-part harmony. Just an old-fashioned love song, one I'm sure they wrote for you and me.
Wow, you guys are great. Fantastic. Our scripture lesson from John tells us this story. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb. Now, can you imagine her mood at that time? The man who had restored her dignity had delivered her from a life of turning away from God and sinful behavior, and killed at the hands of the occupying army from Rome. The man whom she placed all her hopes and her dreams, her Savior, was dead. Dead. He promised a new kingdom. He promised a new life. Eternal in the heavens with their Almighty God. He taught them the depth of God's love, and he himself loved through the healing ministry and powerful words. He promised salvation, wholeness. But now he was gone. And the words of the song and wrapped around the music is the sound of someone promising they'll never go. Wrapped around the song of salvation promised by Jesus is the sound of Jesus promising that he would never go. But he was gone. So there was Mary near the tomb, somber and quite likely depressed by the tragic events of those past 3 days. She lifted her eyes from the ground toward the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. And although Mary did not peer into the tomb or see either the dead body of Jesus or the risen Christ at that time, according to John's Gospel, she ran back to the disciples, never thinking about the possibilities of that empty tomb. She cried out to Simon Peter and the other disciples, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have put him." They must have taken the body. They must have taken the dead body, she thought. So off to the tomb, the disciples raced to see what had happened. That cold tomb stood open and empty. And there they saw the evidence of Jesus' body being gone, and the linens that covered his body lying there, the clothes that were draped, his body were neatly folded and placed off to the side. And the scriptures tell us that the disciples believed, but they did not understand quite yet that Jesus was raised from the dead. And that was it for the disciples. But one stayed near the tomb. We're told by John that Mary stood outside the tomb crying. And as she cried, she looked into the tomb and saw two angels seated where Jesus' body had been. And they asked Mary, "Woman, why are you crying?" And she told them, "They have taken my Lord away and I don't know where they have put him." She turned around and saw the risen Jesus who repeated the question. And Mary, thinking Jesus was the gardener, replied the same as she had to the two angels in the tomb. And now at that moment, Jesus said to her, "Mary." He uttered her name, and instantly she recognized him. She recognized Jesus. She was so ecstatic to see Jesus, she cried out, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And no doubt her despair was alleviated and her hope was restored. She hurried to the other disciples to tell them that Jesus had been present to her, that she had spoken to him. Truly, it's just an old-fashioned love song, one I'm sure they wrote for you and me. You see, to encounter the risen Christ is a very personal thing. It's a very personal experience. Jesus didn't say, "Oh, my child," or "Bless you," or "Blessed be you, faithful one," or "Greetings, loving servant." He said her name, Mary. And her faith was restored, and her purpose in life was renewed, and her very soul was revived. Salvation was her, and she once again possessed a wholeness that she had never felt before meeting Jesus, and that was lost for that moment, those days. Our faith is very personal as we encounter Christ one by one. Christ who calls each of us by our names. Mary was surprised, and the events of that first Easter were very surprising. The Easter miracle was a surprising miracle. Shocking. But it wasn't new. It wasn't new. What God offers to each of us as a result of that first Easter morning is significant, to be sure, of the salvation history illustrated so well by the Hebrew people and then the New Testament Christians, and continues even to this day. Easter and our resurrection faith is a surprising story, but it's not a new one. How's the word of that song go? "You swear you've heard it before as it slowly rambles on. No need in bringing them back because they were never really gone." It's not a new song, evidenced by our Hebrew scripture lesson for today. The classic story that Michael read earlier, Ezekiel's prophecy in those valley of dry bones. What is that story but not a resurrection story? Amen? Comes from those bones. The sinews returned, the muscle returned, the flesh returned. They were renewed, restored. The people of God restored by the prophecy of Ezekiel. All too often the biblical story runs too close to our own lives. Has there ever been a time in your life when all seemed as those great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that are dry, and you wonder, will I ever live? Can these bones live? Can my life be restored? Can my relationship be renewed? Can my hope be breathed with new life? Ezekiel stood at the edge of that valley of dry bones, and the Lord asked him, can these bones live? And Ezekiel says, oh, sovereign Lord, only you know. Only you know. The story of salvation is one that has its basis in the promise of Abraham, that God's people will become as the grains of sand in the earth. That story flows through the patriarch of Moses, the history of the judges. It continues through all of the prophets. It is heralded by the Apostle Paul, finding its ultimate expression in the life and teachings of Jesus the Christ. It flows then through you and through me. Every time we forgive someone and restore the relationship or move beyond a conflict in our relationship, we proclaim the resurrection story in the present day reality. Every time a solution arises from a seemingly hopeless situation and life is affirmed, we are walking in the light of God's resurrection message for each and every one of us. In the spring when the flowers bloom and the trees bud and we can proclaim the truth of the resurrection, it's all about new beginnings, friends. It's all about the possibilities each and every day. It's an old-fashioned love song, but it's a new one to us each and every day. Just an old-fashioned love song, one I'm sure they wrote for you and for me. Just an old-fashioned love song coming down in three-part harmony. Obviously, I have a soft spot for the music of my younger days. But not all the retro movement of the 70s was great. I'll tell you one thing. I wouldn't be caught dead wearing some of the clothes of that era anymore. As if I could. From hip-hugger elephant bottom jeans. Anybody else? Hip-hugger elephant body jeans. Oh, Lord. No, help me. To the bands and chunky jewelry. Anybody ever wear chunky jewelry? I have a whole collection of that stuff. Leisure suits and halter tops do not wear well with time. Jesus preferred a different way also. We wouldn't be caught dead wearing those retro clothes, just as Jesus wouldn't be caught dead 2,000 years in the tomb. He wasn't in that tomb, was he? Jesus preferred to be caught alive outside the tomb, seen in the garden, along the road to Emmaus, in the faces of people who experience resurrection and know that it comes from our God. Jesus would prefer to be caught alive in you and in me. The real question, after all, is not what wouldn't you be caught dead in, but where would you be caught alive for the purposes of Jesus Christ in the world today? How about being caught alive in a meaningful life? One that you've received purpose and meaning in your relationship with Christ. Caught alive in a forgiven life. And as we say in our communion ritual every time, when we are forgiven, then we are freed joyfully to serve our God. Caught alive in an empowered life. Recognizing the power of God's Holy Spirit on us each and every day. Because as we know, Jesus is no longer with us, sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, say all of our creeds. But who's with us now? The Holy Spirit. Do you feel the Spirit sometimes? Do you feel it moving you? Do you feel it nudging you? Do you feel it empowering you? How about being caught alive in a fresh start at life itself? Where the slate is washed clean and all that remains is new possibilities. That's the resurrection life. That's the old-fashioned love song that comes down in three-part harmony. One, I'm sure that God wrote for you and me Just an old-fashioned love song in three-part harmony. And get this, that's the word of God for the people of God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.